You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. That's one part blah, 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 one part ha, 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 and just a smidgen of ta-da!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Yeah, that's me.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. Nice of you to do so. It's a pleasure being here for you. I'm here for you. What a beautiful July afternoon this is. What? Oh, I'm sorry, it's October. I had that wrong by a lot, didn't I? I'm so tired. I don't get enough sleep. I've reached the age of not getting sleep. Has that happened to you yet? It happens overnight, oddly enough, ironically. All of a sudden you can't sleep, and your friend is melatonin. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden my prostate said, "You think you're going to sleep through the night?" I don't think so. Yeah, what's up with that? What happened there? I don't know what my prostate looks like. I've never seen a picture of it. I guess it's online somewhere. Not my prostate exactly, but, you know, other people's prostates. Or what a prostate would look like. Or a prostate. What is it? It is prostate. Okay, it was prostate. I don't know what it looks like, but it's getting funky down there. It's funky town. I don't understand what's going on with that thing. And then I actually have a friend, and that's the end of the sentence. No, there's more. I actually have a friend who has bladder leakage, and that's not funny, because that's a problem. That's a problem. It's like there's a little pinhole in the bag, you know what I'm saying? Bottom line here to all of this is that we all age and we all get old and we all have these funky things that start happening. I said the word funky twice in 1 minute. Don't let me do that again. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. When I go to bed at night, I actually say to myself, good luck. I say that. It's because I don't know what kind of ache or pain I'm going to have in the morning when I get up. Used to get up in the morning and I'd be all happy and hoppy and all that. And now it's like, oh, which part of my body hurts now for no reason whatsoever? What did I do in the middle of the night? What did I do? How did I hurt myself? It's a very interesting, complicated situation. And sometimes I'll say to my doctor, whenever I see my doctor, which is twice a year now, used to be like once every 10 days. It was never that bad. I see my doctor twice a year. It used to be once every 10 years. When I was a child, my mother would take me to the doctor continually just to make sure I was well, and I appreciate it. And I said to her, I think at one point in my life, I said to her, thank you for taking me to the doctor because I can't drive yet. I'm too young. And she would say, that's fine, Ron. We want you to be healthy and wise. And I said, well, healthy might work out. Wise, that's a challenge. And then when I was a young adult, I didn't go to the doctor at all because I felt wonderful. I had the energy of a bazooka. I don't know what that means either. I felt wonderful and great. And then you hit your middle age, and I don't know what middle age is, but all of a sudden things started happening, and the doctor started saying, you should come to us twice a year. What are you saying? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying come to me twice a year now, and we're going to do a blood test every single year. Why? You want to make sure I still have blood? No, because we can tell from the blood test what things are wrong with you. Whew, man, I don't know. I've talked about my dentist a number of times on this show. I don't care for my dentist. I had read somewhere that the highest suicide rate among professionals are dentists. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. If I professionally put my hands in other people's disgusting mouths, I'd want to kill myself too. I don't know. Doctors are like that. Dentists, man, I'm telling you. Dentists are... At what point in your life do you sit back and say, I want to make a career of going into people's mouths? People I don't know, strangers. I want to go in there. I want to get in there and fix people's mouths. And then you get in there and you see all these rotten things going on, and saliva and blood and food particles. Yeah, I get the suicide rate now with the dentist. I do. When I was a kid and my mother took me to the dentist, again, she had to take me to these things. I couldn't drive yet. We would go to the dentist, and after, and I was just a kid. What was I, like 6, 7 years old or something? And we would pass the receptionist, who also doubled as the dental assistant. She did everything. I don't even know what the dentist did, to be honest with you. The dentist would just walk in for 2 minutes and say, you suck. You don't take care of yourself. You suck. See you in 6 months. Yeah, that's what the dentist would say. So this receptionist, dental assistant, is sitting at the front desk, and my mother and I would leave, and she'd say, have a nice day. And here, Ronnie, and she would take her hands and she would pull out of a jar a lollipop and give it to me. And I thought, oh, thank you, thank you. I love the dentist now. They give out lollipops. And then I realized, this is a marketing scam. They clean your teeth and then they give you sugar that you swash around your mouth almost immediately as you're leaving the office. Smart, smart marketing move. I like that. My family doctor, listen to me. I've got saliva going. You see what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, for no reason whatsoever, saliva forms in my throat. Hold on a second. Great. Most radio shows, they would stop the show and take care of themselves. I do it in the show as a part of the program, because it's an honest program, this thing that I do. Dentist thing. So I had a doctor, he was Dr. Golden, and I was living at that time in Jackson Heights, Queens, New York. Lovely little area, because I was working in Manhattan, in the city. And Dr. Golden, and I would walk into his office and it smelled of cigarette smoke. I mean, it reeked. It was like a Winston Marlboro factory in there. It reeked of, there was a cloud of smoke. Did you ever see the movie The Fog? That's where they filmed it. You'd walk in and it would stink. It would stink of cigarette smoke. And again, there was a lady sitting at the desk, and she was the receptionist slash doctor's assistant. And we would sit down in this waiting room where everybody would be coughing or doing something horrible. It was awful. Everybody was sick in the waiting room, and here I am sitting with them in the sick waiting room. And after about 7 hours... they would call my name, and I would go into the little waiting room there, and the doctor would come in after another 6 hours. And he would actually, and I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. I'm not exaggerating. During the exam, he would light up a cigarette. Yes, he would examine me, check everything, you know, like hit my knee with one of those rubber mallets. And I said, what are you doing that for? And he said, because I don't care for you and I want to hit you. And he would look inside my ears. I guess that way you can tell exactly what's wrong with the engine. And he would look at my eyes, and he would kiss me. And he'd do all kinds of things to me to check me out. And he had a stethoscope, and he would hold it to my chest and whisper in my ear, "I love you, I love you." He would do that. And then we went to another room where he had a desk, and I would sit down on the other side of the desk, and he would sit behind the desk, you know, and it was his desk. And that's when he would light up a cigarette in front of me. And he would start puffing away as he would give me the review of what my examination was. His name was Dr. Golden. I don't remember his first name. I guarantee you, by now, he's dead. Nice man, but an ironic person. If you looked in the dictionary, assuming that people still have dictionaries, and you looked up Dr. Golden, you would see he is a definition of irony. Anyway, yeah, when I was growing up, everybody smoked. I mean, everybody. Even the family dog smoked a pack a day. It was unbelievable. Everybody smoked. And you could smoke in the office where you were working. You could smoke. It's cool, actually. You could smoke in a restaurant. You could have a meal or a cocktail and sit back and smoke. You could sit at a bar and smoke. That was kind of normal. This all was normal. You could go to the movies, sit in a movie theater in a seat and light up and smoke during the movie. You could do this stuff and no one said a word about it. When you walked down the street of any town or any city and you looked at the curb, you would see smashed on the curb and on the sidewalk cigarette butts. Cigarette butts were all over the place. We were a nation that produced cigarette butts. It was phenomenal. And now, for some reason, and I know what the reason is, no, nobody smokes. And if you smoke, you are definitely amongst the minority of minorities. Somehow we realized that smoking was bad for you. But we didn't find out fast enough. I've said this on the show before, and you probably know that the government used to hand out cigarettes to the military because they thought it would calm them down, because that's quite a stressful thing to be doing occupation-wise, be a soldier. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, I don't know how to tell you this, but we've done some studies. You know, all the smoking, you know, it can kill you, and it will. I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me? We didn't know. And it wasn't just in this country. It was all over the world. People were smoking all over. The globe was a gigantic ashtray. And I mean that. The richest people in the world were the cigarette manufacturers. It was unbelievable. Kids were smoking. Adults were smoking. As I said, dogs were smoking. Farm animals were smoking. Aliens from other planets would come with cigarette packs. It was unbelievable. Everybody did. The only place I didn't smoke was in church. That was the only place. And I mean the only place that nobody smoked. Somehow God knew this was not a good idea and forbid it. Actually, the 11th commandment is thou shalt not smoke. But Moses said, I'm taking that one off, man. I can't exist without a smoke every once in a while. We're going to get rid of that one when we come down off the mountain. It's true. It's true. You don't believe me, do you? I don't think you believe me. You had to be here. You had to go through that time period. You had to be alive then. It happened basically when I was a child. My parents smoked. On every coffee table in every house, there was a little bowl or a little gadget or something, and there would be cigarettes in it. And when a guest would come over to the house and sit in the living room, they would be offered a cigarette. The cigarettes were right there. They were on the coffee table for anybody to have, in very ornate type of cigarette holders. Cigarette lighters were a thing. Everybody had a Bic, not a Bic pen, a Bic cigarette lighter. Bic pen people said, wait a minute, we're missing out on the cigarette lighter. Everybody's smoking and we're making pens. What the hell's wrong with us? Let's start making lighters. What a great idea. They became quite ornate. Gold-plated cigarette holders. Gold-plated cigarette lighters. In every house. Even if the people in the house didn't smoke, which was rare, they'd still have cigarettes available on the coffee table. You know what was weird about the coffee table? There was never any coffee on it. There were magazines. There were cigarettes. There was all kinds of junk on the coffee table, but no coffee. Who named that thing? Probably a coffee company said, let's make tables for our product, but nobody's going to use it for coffee. I know. It's a branding thing. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of the cigarette. I didn't start the show as the story of the cigarette, but it ended up that way. All right. Thank God. Thank you, God, by the way, in case you're listening to the program. And I believe that God does not listen. More things to do, better things to do, probably. That's a joke that didn't go anywhere, by the way. But anyway, thank goodness, I should say, that people don't smoke anymore, because that is, I cannot believe that that happened. I can't believe it happened, but it did. And the lesson to me is, and I'll say this every once in a while, the lesson is there's something that we're doing right now that is going to cause great harm to everybody, but no one's telling you this because, like the cigarette companies that were so mighty and rich and powerful, that's the same thing with cell phones and computer screens. This is a social generation that we are all caught up in that involves staring at screens all day occupationally. And that is going to be even worse as the years go on. Staring at screens will be everything. Watch out for your eyes, kids, when you get older. You're going to pay the price for this, and they're not even telling you about it. And watch out for the cell phones, those little devices that you hold up to your head or have in your pocket. That's going to also be a problem medically when you get older. And I don't know if they know that right now, but I think they do. But to rid the entire globe of cell phones ain't gonna happen. And the same with artificial intelligence. They're actually starting to talk about this now, if you follow the news. Even the high-tech companies are saying, watch out for artificial intelligence. Those movies back in the 50s where the computers take over the world. Looks like that's not really just a movie. Look out for all the stuff that's happening. And you kids, you young adults, you may be paying the price like a lot of adults paid when smoking cigarettes. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll kind of continue this thing with a guest. But before we do so, we do have a commercial word. Will you please come back? Oh, please. Oh, please come back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Dr. Felicia Timmerman joins us now. She's a pediatric ophthalmologist. Is that right?
Optometrist. All right, yeah, optometrist. Whatever.
Close enough. She's with the Cooper Vision. Eye doctor. How about that? Okay.
Yeah, that works perfect.
Sure. Okay. It's been a crazy day today, Felicia. Okay, we're talking about myopia and the fact that it's become more prevalent than even it was before, and that wasn't good. Tell us first what myopia is, please.
Absolutely. So myopia is the same as nearsightedness, which may be more commonly known amongst our viewers here. And that's really where we have an impact in our distance vision when uncorrected, where everything out in the distance looks blurry.
Is that a more prevalent situation than the opposite, where you can only see far and near is not so great?
Yeah, so overall, we're seeing an increasing prevalence when it comes to myopia. So by 2030, it's actually projected that 50% of the North American population will be living with myopia. But we're seeing this prevalence overall globally as well.
Hmm. And I'm going to assume, and I'm taking a guess because I don't know, I'm going to assume it has to do with computer screens.
You got it. So that is definitely one of the causes or associations that we're seeing with this increasing prevalence. Mm-hmm. You know, really adapting to those near devices, that near work, that additional screen time that we didn't have in the past. And of course, this is really impacting children because a lot of their lifestyle is now on that screen time and using it for academics, but of course, for also entertainment. And what we're seeing is an increasing prevalence in myopia in children. But more scarily than that is we're actually seeing children developing myopia at much earlier ages. And when they're developing it at earlier ages, we're actually seeing that progression is much faster. So that's why it's really become such an important topic and why we really want to treat this at the earliest possible.
To me, with the onslaught of cell phones, when you're straining to see a very, very small image and you're concentrating on that constantly, that doesn't seem to help either.
Exactly. It's really just adapting to that near device and really just that overall near work is where we're seeing that there's an association in this increasing prevalence.
Yeah. The problem is, it is what it is. Pandora's box has been opened, and those are devices that we're dealing with as the primary source of everything in our lives. So how do you combat that? What do you do with the kids in order to make that not such a hard situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do find that increasing outdoor time can be a protective factor in either delaying or preventing the onset of myopia. So we encourage 1.5 to about 2 hours of outdoor play for children for that protective factor, as well as we find that there's an association in slowing the progression. Now, for those children that have already been diagnosed with myopia, there is an FDA-approved product called MySight One-Day Contact Lens, which is a daily disposable contact lens, so meaning a fresh pair every day, that does two benefits. One, it's going to correct the child's vision, just like they would with standard glasses or contact lenses, to see everything clearly out in the distance as well as up close. But also, the innovative technology of it gives it the benefit of slowing the progression of myopia as well. So we're not going to see those big changes in their prescription year after year.
Do glasses fit the same bill?
So glasses are going to allow children to see clearly out in the distance, but it does nothing to slow the progression of myopia. Mm. And that's really where the concern is, because as that progression continues, that means that the child's vision is going to continue to get worse. But we also know that myopia can lead to various ocular risks, meaning eye conditions later on in life that can lead to visual impairment or even blindness. So this is why it's so important that we treat early, because we have a short window of time to have a huge impact on how the child is living their everyday lives now, but also what it means for their eye health in the future.
Is this something that can develop over time? I mean, some children do have this problem, but Will it be an onslaught of even of a deeper problem in the future as kids grow up and adults start, you know, going through the same span of life?
That's a great question, and definitely. So as we continue to see that overall increase in prevalence, we anticipate that more people are going to be living with this condition. Yeah. And by more people, that means more children as well. But of course, as we adapt to the near environment of those near devices, we are seeing an increasing prevalence amongst children as well as adolescents and young adults as well.
Do the contact lenses help shape and or keep the shape of the eye itself?
So it's just going to fit like any other standard contact lens. Mm-hmm. So very easy to fit. So it's not going to change any shape of the eye itself. All of the slowing of the progression and all the benefits that you're going to get through it is really just built into the contact lens itself. So it does nothing actually to the shape of the eye outside of being able to slow it from growing. Okay. Because what myopia means is that the eye is growing longer and longer than it should. So by slowing that progression, that means that the eye isn't going to want to grow quite as long. So if it's going to be changing anything, it's going to have that beneficial impact on the eye.
At what age would a child be comfortably able to do this themselves?
Yes, so it's FDA approved at the initiation of treatment between 8 to 12 years old, mm-hmm. and it's backed by a 7-year study where a portion of those children wore the MySight contact lens for 6 years. And what we found from that study is that children as young as 8 years old were successful and independent in wearing these contact lenses. So you can start as early as that first decade of life of wearing MySight One Day lenses.
Okay, cool. Is it beneficial to tell your child that these are the ramifications of what you're doing with your eyes by looking at the screens? Would that make them more conscious of it? Do you explain this to children? Does it make a difference?
So being able to talk to children in the exam room, you know, I think it's really giving them alternatives. And that's where we're going to increase outdoor play or really just try to find activities that's going to minimize using those near devices, because we know there's going to be a huge benefit from that, as well as the motivation behind wearing the MySight One Day lens, which is going to be a treatment for myopia progression. So really giving that overall motivation, how are they living their lifestyle? Will contact lens benefit them if they're playing sports or just learning in school or just wanting to be glasses free? Mm-hmm. So being able to have that conversation with your child and really just trying to find other alternatives that are going to benefit them and be able to help, hopefully have an impact in slowing that progression.
Okay. Now, where would one go in order to request this type of treatment? Is it available over the counter? Is it require a prescription?
It is a required prescription. So I would go to CooperVision, their MySight.com website, which is going to tell you more about myopia as well as the MySight lens. On that website, it does have an eye care locator. So you can actually find an eye doctor in your area that does prescribe the MySight lens to see if your child is a candidate for it.
Very, very good. Okay. And how often should children and adults be tested for their eyesight?
I would recommend annual eye exams just to make sure those eyes are nice and healthy. And of course, as we're seeing the progression of myopia, we always want these children to be best corrected to their vision so that they're seeing the best they can in their visual world as they're learning, as they're playing, as they're living their everyday lives.
Very good. I'm glad we're talking about it because it's not discussed that much. We talk about heart conditions and we talk about eating healthy and all that, which all of that does indeed connect to the eye health, doesn't it?
Yeah, so there's definitely just how we're living our everyday lifestyles are having an impact on our eye health and even what we're seeing with myopia as well, just some of those lifestyle changes overall. And I appreciate you really bringing this topic to the forefront for our viewers because it is an important condition and it's very concerning seeing so many children living with the impacts of this condition.
Yes, and or impacts that they haven't even realized yet. So it's a preventative situation as well, am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that children are resilient. They're able to adapt. So sometimes they don't even realize, you know, that they have myopia because they do things like squinting or just avoiding the activity altogether or moving closer to see it clearly. And because if they've never been corrected before and never have seen clear vision, living in that blur is what they think is normal. So that is why it's so important to really do those annual eye exams to make sure that we're catching it the earliest possible, making sure that these children are living with their best vision as they live their everyday activities.
Okay. And so let's, the places that we hook up to get more information.
Yeah, so mysight.com is a great resource that's been provided by CooperVision to learn really just about myopia in general, more about that condition, but also about the MySight one-day contact lens and to really see if your child is a candidate for it. And as mentioned, you can find an eye doctor that's living in your area that's able to provide that comprehensive eye exam and also fit and see if your child is a candidate.
Okay. And mysight.com, on my copy here, it's spelled M-I-S-I-G-H-T. Is that correct?
Yeah, so M-I-S-I-G-H-T .com. Right. Yeah.
Okay, that's a little different than what one might think with the Y there, but it's not the Y. Put that I in there. Okay.
Yep, M-I, yeah.
All right. Pleasure speaking to you, Doctor, and thank you so much for the information today. That'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to you. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.